The numbers told the story. They always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. And what do you know? Day number two of two. Strolling into the studio. It's Carl Sack, everybody. You know him as you may know him as NBA Guru. Came on set yesterday, gave out the Celtics. Lines moved everywhere. And then later in the day, when we find out about personnel stuff, it moved even further. And Celtics, you didn't have to sweat that one out, did you?
No, it's nice to not have to get your sweatband out late in the game.
That's right, no sweatband necessary. First half and full game, obviously. Easy peasy for the Boston Celtics. You can hang all hour with us if you want, man.
Let's do it,
Jason's going to be
talk
here.
Sports.
Vinny's going to be here. Let me read some tweets. Will that excite you if we read some tweets?
I always like tweets.
Yeah. J-Rod, I see quarter prices at MGM and FanDuel. Could y'all discuss either? Yes. No, we just did. And so I got ahead of that one. No eager to not drop a set yet, but I will be watching for it. Yeah, it's available at one of those two places you just mentioned. And again, I would play it. Absolutely would play it. This is from... Okay, here's one for you, Carl. These questions always get me. Johnny B., I have a $280 to win $6,600 ticket on a Golden State-Miami Finals matchup. How do I hedge this properly to profit after last night's game? I am not too excited for Miami's chances. Can't really properly hedge that, can you?
That's a tough one.
Now that the Celtics are such a big favorite, you can't properly hedge it.
No.
At this moment. This is one from, let's go. This is from Madden Capital talking about you. He goes, "This man doesn't have a Twitter. We need more of him." LOL. What's your relationship with Twitter, Carl? Carl Sack, everybody.
I really don't. I really don't have much of a Twitter. I have a Twitter account that I use primarily to follow all the beat writers and stuff like that.
But you don't really
post. And people like yourself.
Yeah.
But I don't post anything.
Well, I appreciate you following. Chili Gambler, Sensei Parlay. Hey, Gil, women's quarter four looks wide open to me. Do you see any value played down the board there? I believe we discussed that. Hopefully you heard that, Chili Gambler, on... previous segment. This is from Trader John. John Daly, legend, 21 cigarettes, drank 12 Diet Cokes, 6 packs of peanut M&Ms, 0 water in 18 holes after shooting +2 yesterday, signed autographs at Hooters, saddled up to a slot machine at the casino to get ready for round 2. How great is that? Lefty 10. Oh, no, not Lefty 10. Hold on. This is from Hold on. A couple more of these. I mentioned the Kevin Downs one. Do I swear by Iga? Yes, I do. And this is Thomas R. Far away place that starts with Bo, he said. Kekmanovic +700 to win the quarter. Just grabbed it. Thank you, my friend. D-Gen Southern Gent. Totally agree with your Kekmanovic handicap, Gil. Great clay numbers last 12 months, and he's the only guy that stood toe-to-toe with Alcaraz in Miami. A slower surface than most hard courts. Also played well in Australian Open. Has shown great fitness and stamina in long matches. Couldn't agree more. And Cerebral Sammy, Teichman 12-1 on FanDuel on taking a stab. All right, there you go. I like it. Shop around. Those are the people I like in those quarters. Wish I could bet them. Carl, let's bring in one of our mutual friends from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California, at Spreadopedia on Twitter. It's Jason Weingarten. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going? Nice to get Carl in studio today, too.
Yeah, man. Carl,
see you again, Jason. See you about once a year.
Yeah, nice to talk to you. How's it going?
Good.
We were all met at Sloan. Is that
we
the
did? Gosh, probably like 10 years ago or something.
Yeah, 10 years ago or so now. Probably maybe even a little longer.
Sloan Sports Analytics Conference at MIT. What a drift. There has never been something where the investment of going paid off more in the end. Just
yeah,
networking
that was great.
And knowing people.
It was good to network and met a lot of people there.
And Spanky with Bet Bash too. The evolution of that. Jason, let me ask you a couple baseball questions. One, the Cardinals called up a couple really big prospects yesterday. Tell us how we might or how we should bet something like that.
Well, Nolan Gorman, he's going to be a designated hitter, second baseman. He leads AAA in home runs. I think he has like 15 or something. So strikeouts are always going to be a problem with him. He's always going to have a pretty high strikeout rate. But this is the kind of guy who comes up and jumps right into the Rookie of the Year race. His teammate, Matt Liebetor, is also being called up. He's a starting pitcher. His Rookie of the Year odds are available 100 to 1, 130 to 1, I think, is the highest I've seen at FanDuel. That number is going to come down significantly. I don't know if Liebetor is going to win, but I think 100 to 1 is way too high of price for a guy who's going to be in the rotation most likely the rest of the season.
Is it enough to move the needle for you on the Cardinals division price or not really?
No, not really. I'm on the Brewers already at a pretty, like, I think I might have them actually plus money or close to it. So I'm just sticking with my Brewers bet from the preseason, but I'm excited to see new talent starting to come up because it means other teams are going to start promoting their guys.
Who's more of a disappointment? Speaking of that, just random question now that just sort of triggered in my head. Who's more of a disappointment to you, Jared Kelenic, who was sent down, or Bobby Witt Jr. here in the early going for the Royals?
Witt has started to play better. I think I'd probably go with Kelenic there just because he's had more at-bats and more time to develop, and he's been stagnant for quite some time. But Kelenic went back down to AAA. He struck out in like his first six at-bats, and then he hit a home run last night. So
there you go.
Every time I think that he's kind of a bust, he turns it around a little bit. So I would like to see what he could do with some more major league at-bats. And I'm also thinking right now with Kelenic's stock at an all-time low, we haven't talked a lot about baseball cards lately, but I browsed some of his baseball cards yesterday to see if I couldn't find some deals from people who wanted to cut their investments there.
Did you buy any tennis cards, by the way? And I'm being serious.
I've never seen tennis cards.
Oh, they're out
I
there.
Know like
they're
there's some Serena Williams cards, but I've never even looked.
I would, you know, again, I don't know what the prices are on like Alcaraz cards, that kind of thing, but I would totally get into it. I just have no time to ever think about it. You do trading cards at all?
I grew up with baseball cards, football cards, basketball cards, the whole gamut.
I was obsessed with baseball cards.
Oh, yeah, I go to the shows, and I've got boxes and boxes that are covered in dust right now.
My mother said, Gilly, when are you taking your baseball cards? I don't want them here. Still in D.C., all of them. My mom makes the show for a second time this week, Jeff. Mark it down. Let's move to Max Scherzer real quickly. Max Scherzer, oblique. Not as bad as an arm injury, obviously, but that's oblique's pretty bad. 6 to 8 weeks out. What does this mean for the NL Cy Young market from your standpoint?
Well, he had been one of the leaders, and Corbin Burns also one of the front runners. But what's interesting about Corbin Burns is that he had that elite season last year that won him the Cy Young in 168 innings. He's already given up more home runs this year than he did last year, and I don't see Corbin Burns winning the Cy Young with such a low innings limit this year that he'll probably not even reach that 160 that he hit last year. So I'm anti Corbin Burns this year. I think a 2 month injury to Max Scherzer probably gets him out of the race. So you kind of start looking up at the top of the board and you see Carlos Rodon got shelled in his last start. Pablo Lopez had his worst start of the season. Walker Buehler hasn't looked right. So I'm starting to look a little deeper. I see Zach Gallen still 20 to 1 at BetMGM. That number is already 9 to 1 at Westgate. So I'm interested in Gallen at 20 to 1. Yeah. Jacob DeGrom, does he interest you at all? If he's ready to go in less than a month,
yes,
and he comes back and Scherzer's not in the rotation, can he be lights out for 15, 16 straight starts and win the Cy Young? Is that,
I think,
that
yes,
something that interests you?
Yes, absolutely. You?
Yeah, I love it. I think 100 to 1,
yeah,
100, higher than 100 to 1 is a great price on DeGrom.
I'll grab a little DeGrom on that. Absolutely. Yes, Jeff.
One question real quick, because the Mets gave a very vague report on DeGrom earlier this week. Jason, what if it's post-All-Star break? Is that still enough, though?
No, I think that's too long. If he's not back by June, probably just throw away those tickets, but I mean, by the time you get post All-Star break, you're talking like 10 starts. That's just not enough to compete with some of these guys. But when you look at the top of the board, I mean, like Carlos Rodon, I don't think he's going to pitch enough innings. Pablo Lopez is interesting, but beyond that, you know, it's really wide open. You can make a case for any of these guys, even Chris Bassett.
Okay, so the one you like the best then, the flyer on DeGrom and Gallen, is that what I'm getting?
Yeah, if you could still get 20 on Gallen.
Okay.
I was talking to Scott last night on the late show, and he was saying it's already down to 9 at Superbook. So
was that before or after his start last night?
I think this was after his start last night.
Okay. Yeah, he had another good start. I heard that the wind was even blowing out at Wrigley, and he still had a decent start. 20-1
yeah,
seems like a bargain.
He's great. He just kind of gets some, you know, you don't get the hype you would get on the Diamondbacks if he was pitching for the Mets or the Braves or whatever.
Jason, real quick, because we got 45 seconds. What do you like today?
I like the Rockies. Rockies at home getting plus money still against the Mets. The line moved a little bit. I think it's still like plus 117. And Mariners plus 104 against the Red Sox. I end up betting on the Mariners a lot this year.
Yeah, they were off to a slow start too. Hopefully could turn it around for you for a lot of people who liked them before the season. Sorry about your guy, Chechka. 6-over through 9 today. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, I just saw the scores. I said, oh, yeah, it looks like no winners here for me this weekend in golf.
Well, Rockies and Mariners can make up for all of that. Jason, always appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Nice to talk to you, Carl. Nice to talk to you, Gil. See you guys later.
Take care, Jay.
At Spreadopedia is where you can find Jason, of course, on a daily basis on the Twitter machine. Carl in studio next, some basketball on the other side.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN Spring Special is here. For only $59, you get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. Next few months going to be filled with the best betting content in the business right here at VSiN.com. And subscribers will have access to all of it. Again, Adam Burke's daily MLB best bets. Jonathan Von Tobel, best bets all the way through the NBA Finals. Andy McNeil all the way through the Stanley Cup playoffs with his best bets. NFL preseason coverage when that time comes, not to mention golf, UFC, USFL, NASCAR, best bets and premium articles on all. If you want the full VSiN experience, which features a daily best bets email, every edition of Point Spread Weekly, use of our betting tools, and a live video stream whenever you want it, the cost is only $59 to be a subscriber through July 31st. Sign up now at VSiN.com/spring. Yesterday, I'm parking my car before primetime action, Jeff, and instead of going forward into the parking space, get this. I put the car in reverse and reversed into the parking space. I know, it's a killer move. The reason I bring this up is when I got out of the car, this elderly lady, if I may call her that, with her husband, she's walking by and she goes, well, I could not have done that. That was amazing. And I was like, felt like I split the atom there for a second. It's great moments in South Point parking lot history. You should come down here. It's always fabulous. Carl Sack is in studio. By the way, we do have a few more tweets here. Ad beating the book, always appreciated. I will pick and choose the I read through most of these. There's not many I skip. Web12-66. What is the dingbat standing behind you? Security? Not who is the dingbat. He said, what is the dingbat? Was there someone standing behind me during the segment? Oh, I didn't see it. Anyway, Web12-66 was very annoyed by it. Russell Johnson, please, for all of us, longtime listeners, could you do just one segment using your mother's accent? It would be radio gold. You think you could stand a whole segment of me doing her? I don't think so. Taco T-Bone. Not that I'm saying anything wrong about my mother. Raining and snowing in Denver the next 2 days. Rockies might not play, he said.
Yes, the annual tradition of the Mets trip to Denver creating absolutely horrible weather in the Rockies.
It's amazing. It happens every year.
Basically every year, yeah.
I missed the first hour. This is Coach Harry Ellis. I missed the first hour. Is there a pick for the crazy fourth quarter in men's French Open? Is the fourth the Kecmanovic one?
That
yes.
Would technically yeah. Be the Miramir Kecmanovic.
That's man. Right. Miramir Kecmanovic. And then Todd Wright tweeting out segments that he's done on the show as well. So I appreciate Todd getting on Twitter and doing that. Carl Sack is here, ladies and gentlemen. He was here yesterday. NBA guru, works with Dr. Bob, our dear friend, Bob Stoll, for many, many years and over thousands of picks in the National Basketball Association. We talked about this yesterday, has just a absolutely stellar record, over 200 units to the positive. I have followed Carl's picks for years. It is just a sight to behold how good Carl is. Mainly totals, would you say, through the years over sides? Or kind of half and half?
Maybe two-thirds totals.
Two-thirds totals. I remember it being more totals than sides through the years.
Yeah.
But yesterday you came on, and you know, again, you don't come on all the time, but we get you on like once every 6 months, once every year.
Something like that,
on the show when you're in Vegas. And, you know, I say to people, I was like, hey, listen, Carl moves the lines when he releases them. And, you know, most people are going to be like, yeah, sure he does. And yesterday, again, we saw it here with the Boston Celtics pick, and it was easy peasy yesterday. Let me just ask you about that game. And we went through it in the first segment. It was just absolute destruction. Heat went up 18-8, and then it was all Celtics. A 30-6 run. If you extend it further, it was a 60-21 run. Celtics were just ridiculous from behind the arc. 10 of 12 in that initial run. They finished with 20 three-pointers converted on 40 shots. And so I guess the question for you is, you're all about the Celtics, and you stated the reasons for that yesterday. Do you feel like they should be the favorite to win it all at this point?
I think they're the best team. Based on where they're at in their series and where Golden State's at, you know, I mean,
mathematically, maybe not.
Mathematically, right. Maybe Golden State has the best chance, because if they go up 2-0, then they're pretty much in the driver's seat in that series.
But so let me say this. So if Boston plays Golden State in the finals, you haven't crunched these, so I'm putting you on the spot, but what would you anticipate you would have that roughly?
I personally would have Boston favored in that series, despite not having home court. Even if Peyton's back by then, I hope that Golden State has a few good games here and gets some attention so that Golden State is favored to create some value for Boston bettors. But I mean... You want me to put a series line on it?
I mean, I don't want to hold you to it if you don't want to, but yeah, sure. What would you think? Sure, why not?
Here's the thing. Like Boston, as I mentioned yesterday, they've been such a good road team that them not having home court, I don't think is that big of a deal. Yeah. And so...
By the way, trippy part about all this, if Dallas were to beat Golden State, Dallas would have home court over Boston as well.
Oh, would they really?
Because they have a better regular season record.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to make Boston a minus 135, maybe minus 140.
Boston minus 135.
In the series against Golden State.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good little barometer for us to file away. For when it, if and when it happens, I'll lean towards when.
Hopefully.
Even though I have Miami series prices, not feeling great about it. Boston is phenomenal when they're on. They are phenomenal. But every, you know, here's the thing though. I mean, full disclosure, I do have the Miami Heat series prices. And the reason for it is every one of these games, obviously, is its own entity. Doesn't matter if Boston wins by a million, right, in one game. Miami is just that pesky. And I do feel, I don't know where you stand on that team, but they're an interesting team because they were the number one seed, and yet mainstream media, right, no real buzz. It's all, hey, Luka's there, the Golden State Warriors, championship DNA, Boston the deepest, that when they're on, they're phenomenal. And the Heat, just number one seed, just sort of glide through it all. Where did you land on them in your sort of power rankings? Not that you do specifically power rankings, but
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Where did they land for you?
I'd put them maybe like third or fourth in the East. I thought a healthy Milwaukee would probably have been a little bit ahead of them, but I mean, this Miami team is decent. You know, I think the world of Jimmy Butler, he's a great two-way player. Despite the fact that he's aging a little bit.
He is the underrated superstar of this league.
He's really good. Yeah. I mean, his personality is, he's a unique character. But Spoelstra is a heck of a coach.
Who do you have as the best coach, in your opinion? Who's the best coach in the NBA?
Gosh, wow, that's a good question.
Spoelstra's up there, though.
He's definitely up there. He's got to be.
Where do you land on Udoka this year? pretty good, huh?
See, that's the thing. He's been fantastic this year. It certainly took him the first couple of months to kind of get the players all on the right page. And he's got a lot of experience. You know, he's under Pop. He was on Brooklyn and Milwaukee for a little while. The interesting thing is, though, is that I don't believe he's ever actually been a head coach before.
He has never.
And so, so there is a lack of experience in that regard, but I think he's done a fantastic job this year, and I think that he's probably getting some good guidance from the Boston organization as a whole, their analytics team, Brad Stevens with his experience, that kind of stuff.
Getting texts and tweets from people. It's like, I better make a bet before Carl moves the world. So people are wondering, do you have a play today to the Warriors Mavericks game two? And the answer is?
So I woke up this morning thinking that I wanted, when I went to bed last night, Dallas was a 6.5 point dog. And I woke up this morning thinking, well, if that gets to 7, which I think as the day goes on, maybe it would have, that might have been something worth going at. Unfortunately, I woke up this morning, line was back down to 6. And then you start, I don't know if you guys talked about it earlier or not, but there was some reports from Kevin Harlan that that Luka was up all night sick on, I think it was, Tuesday night?
Yeah, we didn't mention
but Wednesday night.
Harlan, you hear that, Jeff? Harlan's report that Luka was sick after the game?
And so, I don't know if that contributed to some of his play because he played pretty, his stats were pretty poor. I don't know how quick of a turnaround there. I mean, you know, these medical staffs are awesome. They'll get him on, you know, IV hydration and all that kind of stuff. But I'd be curious to see if anything comes out today. And then on top of that, if you notice during the game, he was holding his shooting shoulder before and after, or during and after the game. And so there's some question marks with him and his status. Not that I don't think he'll play. I think he will. But if he's not 100%, and we're talking about a line of 6 and not 7, I think that changes things. And so if you get more information throughout the day and, you know, at shoot around, he seems fine, and this line creeps to 7 later, I think it's probably worth a small bet.
Okay, but no play right now.
But unfortunately, I don't have anything at current lines and current information.
Hey, man, we're not here to force a play. So if Luka looks fine and somehow it drifts to 7, you might very well take the Mavericks.
Yeah, and another way to go about it, too, would be to in-game, you know?
Yeah.
Watch the first 6 minutes, see how he looks, body language, shooting, that kind of stuff. Maybe Golden State gets up early and you get a good Dallas line. You know, the swings with the NBA, an early lead means nothing. We saw it with Miami last night.
Sure did. Vinny Maliulo joins us. Carl, hang with us as well. Coming back, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a Numbers Game on a Friday morning. It's Gil Alexander. Oh, it's a packed house. Jeff Parlay here as always. Carl Sack, NBA guru here, hanging out with us this hour. And Vinny Maiolio, ladies and gentlemen, slow jamming with Vinny Maliulo. His intro music. There you go. Look at that.
Give Carl a cigar and a little bourbon.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Vintage,
what do you say, guys?
You notice a NBA line moving right around this time yesterday? That was Carl. Carl did that. Did I do that? No, Carl did.
You took 6.5.
No, yesterday.
Yesterday. You took the Celtics.
Yeah.
Moved a tick at this time yesterday morning, and that was young Carl Sack here.
Moved most of the day
And then after that, it moved because of the other stuff. Vinny, how you doing, man?
Good. Little move to the dog today. We opened 6.5 and now down to 6.
We were just talking about that.
Yeah.
Saw 6.5 last night. I was hoping it was going to get to 7. I woke up and no, it goes the other way.
There you go, napping, Carl. It's early.
Hey, I'm guessing you guys are going to take a lot of Warriors money today, and that's going to start creeping.
I think, the Warriors are back. We oftentimes talk about how Las Vegas is a Laker town, right? But in recent years, and Gil, you can speak to this, especially with the success. I mean, you know, and I say since VSiN came on the air 5 years ago, it's become quite a lot of Warriors following here now too. Not just in the playoffs, but their success a few years back. But also during the season, right? If the Lakers weren't the get-out game, the late game, it's the Warriors, the Clippers to some extent. But a lot of Warriors support. Gil, I remember you had the bet not to bring up a. You had the one they would run the playoffs. Remember we had that.
What was that?
2018. Maybe?
17, maybe. Yeah, 17, in that 18. Range.
What was that? What was the? Oh, they would not lose a postseason game.
We go undefeated in the postseason.
That's right. I forgot about
and,
that.
That momentum, I think, has sustained itself in terms of public support, at least. Now, professionals like yourself, Carl, you'll look to get value. If you can get against, if the public can drive this up, right, you're going to pay very close attention to the other side as well. So, but playoffs have been good so far in terms of betting interest and betting handle.
Was that a prop you put up in 2018? Now you got me thinking about it. Was it the Warriors wouldn't lose a playoff game?
Warriors to go undefeated in the postseason.
Was that the year they won 73, or was that the year that Durant came after?
No, that was the year that they swept Cleveland in the finals, but they lost.
They lost one game.
Memphis or some random team.
I got it all in front of
they
me.
Lost, there it is. They lost Parley's one to San Antonio. They lost one to New Orleans. They lost three to
Gil,
Houston.
I don't think you have the right year. I think you have 2017 is the year you guys are talking about.
Oh, okay.
Because they went 16-1.
The only loss
was in the finals against Cleveland.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
And if but you got to right, that point, four. Gil. You were in a good spot.
Yeah.
You had gotten
that's
to, that,
right.
to that point.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
So, that was fun. You guys put up that prop, huh?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
What a great ride that was.
So.
Warriors try to do it again. Three titles in 4 years, the Warriors, after the Giants won three titles in 5 years for the Bay. So
should have been 4-4.
It should have been 4-4.
I lost a lot of money on that one.
I was at Jeff Ma's place of all places for that game, and everybody was gloomy when that happened.
Game seven. Okay, because they were up 3-1.
But the game seven, the stat that no one remembers from that year, the Warriors, the 73 win Warriors, mm-hmm. who would have been winning their third title in what would have been 4 in a row, let's say. Didn't score a point the last 4 minutes and 40 seconds of that game. It's just too soon. It was brutal. It was brutal. That was the iconic game where LeBron blocked a Iguodala shot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Nothing like going down memory lane on a numbers game.
Yeah, that was awful. All right, so we're watching the PGA. The PGA is on. By the way, the reason we haven't really been updating scores is because Rory McIlroy, still in the clubhouse, not teeing off till this afternoon, still has a one-stroke lead over, it's been added. It was Zalatoris and Hoagie heading into today, but JT and Joaquin Neiman now have played their way to 4 under par on the course. So McIlroy still with the one-stroke lead, but Thomas and Neiman knocking at the door. What ended up being your handle? We talk all the time, Vinny, about how the Masters, because we have a whole winter to bet the Masters gets the biggest golf handle. Was the PGA about what you expected, better than expected? What'd you end up with?
Well, it's actually still calculate happening. It because of updated futures, Gil, daily matchups. But, just to kind of recap your point, sure, the Masters certainly – by virtue of 9-10 months
Scotty Scheffler.
Sorry, there you go.
Scotty Scheffler has missed about 3 birdies today by a combined 2.5 inches.
Gil's reaction speaks to the fact that the handle still continues.
That's right. Sorry, Vinny, whatever you were saying. Right, I didn't mean to be rude.
You're actually you're amplifying my point, yes.
9 straight birdies today, 9 straight pars, rather, for Scotty Scheffler, and he has come oh so close. He's just shaking his head.
This something. But so Masters, by virtue of the length of time to book it, the familiarity with the folks with the course, the traditions, and things like that. So Masters number one, U.S. number two. It used to be the British Open and then the PGA, but now the PGA and the British PGA, by virtue of it moving and not going up against football,
right,
is certainly. Contributed to its handle.
Golf
right?
gets that, right? They're like, we're going to move all of this away from football. Let's just have our real estate in the middle
have
of the
our
calendar.
Time, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whereas, I don't know if some other leagues don't get that. The NFL sure doesn't care, right? The NBA has games on Christmas this year. Yep. The NFL's like, I don't care. We're just plowing through that now. And then there's other problems for like teams like, you know, leagues like the USFL or XFL. It's like you're never going to compete with the NFL during the season. But do people really have a thirst? Like the USFL handle. Can we? Did that just drop off a cliff?
The
after
first
week,
one? Yeah. I mean, it's not. Then the second week, it was a drop off. It's just there's a few. Put you know, you put it up. It's got its little niche. It's on TV, so you know, folks want to see it. You know, but
it's so dumb. All the games are in Birmingham.
Well,
like, you know.
And in one location. Listen, it's a challenge for these leagues. I remember the original XFL, and the reason I remember it well is obviously we had a team here, but I was the I was a marketing director. My job was to get the games on the board. So I went to Las Vegas Sports Consultants. We had a get-together. And then if you recall, we had exhibition games out at Sam Boyd. And all of the operators, bookmakers from around the state were able to come to one location. Dick Butkus was involved with the league at that time. And so, you know, you had all this. But I think what happened was there was this kind of anti-NFL mindset, right? But I think if you look now, there's more – because they're going to come back next year. They came back right before the pandemic and then had to cancel. I think there's more of a willingness at least to say, look, let's try to maybe coexist in terms of – so you've got the NBA has the D-League, right? Well, maybe we can get a little bit of somewhat of an affiliation or at least some kind of development type thing. Don't be so anti because the NFL is going to be king. And if there's a way for players to migrate, you know, even from the USFL, right? If you can find a way, then I think you could certainly coexist. But is it ever going to approach with the NFL or for much NFL by college? Neither, you know, it's a challenge, but they know it, and I think they're trying to figure out ways to make it more attractive.
Well, from a betting perspective, which is really all I care about, like if there was a betting angle in the USFL and somebody's exploiting it, then all the power to you. Yeah. There was no time to spend trying to figure that out.
Well, you're also right now. It's a great point because you're involved with golf. You're
tennis. Yeah,
you got tennis. You've got like Carl. You're watching the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. You're going to pay attention to and things like that. You're going to take a look at that.
Since we're talking about the NBA, the WNBA, and I mean this seriously for serious bettors.
Yeah,
we had Danielle Alvari on primetime action the other night. She was firing at WNBA bets. Mm-hmm. Matt and Kelly bet because they were like, wait a minute, this team's 3-1. This is the extent of their analysis. This team's 3-1, and they're 100-1 to win it all, the Atlanta Dream. And so they fired futures on the Atlanta Dream. I'm curious, do you guys put up WNBA numbers?
WNBA is up. It's, by the way, Danielle does a great job with the WNBA.
And she fires, I respect. Yeah, yes.
Yeah. She's a great example, and not just there is a niche. WNBA has got its niche, and people will bet the WNBA that follow it, just like I'll tell you right now. And, you know, certainly the limits are not there.
Right.
But the way Carl follows the NBA, there are folks that just immerse themselves in it.
Absolutely.
And you have to respect that. I mean, you can't ignore it as an operator. Look, people are putting their money up. Respect that. And Danielle is an example, and there's folks out there that have really good opinions on the WNBA and do well with it.
After the break, we're going to find out if Vinny and crew here at the South Point are going to put up first-round French Open numbers. We're going to find that out. And Vinny did some research from the last show to this one about what happens if you pass away and you have money in your betting account. Coming back, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. That's eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. And as always, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. Chris Felica texting me from, ready for this? Tel Aviv, Israel.
Wow.
Oh, I'm proud.
Shalom.
Yeah, he's well done, Vinny. Vinny just unleashed his Hebrew knowledge right there. Chris is going on a cruise, but he's taking off. What is the word you use when you go a sea, when you set out from port? I don't know what it is.
Bon voyage?
No, when you...
I mean, listen, I'll go the whole...
I don't know what the word
is. We'll go international here, buddy. I'm going to throw out every one word I know in every language.
He's enjoying his life, so I wish him safe travels. And then this just in, I don't know if... this may have big-time football implications, but this in from Todd Wright, frequent guest of the show. And I always appreciate how frequent guest of the show always text and tweet in. But HBO Real Sports is going to feature... women that accused Deshaun Watson of sexual assault talking in their own words next Tuesday. So could that end up being a significant enough of a broadcast to actually force the NFL's hand, a la Major League Baseball suspending Trevor Bauer for 2 years? We don't know. Just one more step in all of this. Yes, Jeff?
Just remember, I'm still surprised. We were surprised by this when we saw this. Deshaun Watson, still the second betting favorite and comeback player of the year. Please, I just advocate for this. Please don't bet
Please
that.
Please do not.
Please don't bet that.
There is no, first of all, if you are one of the people who vote on that award, right? Like, let's say he has a great season. Let's say he plays enough games, he has a great season. And if you are, imagine that moment when one of those voters has to, regardless of how it gets adjudicated, but has to sit there and go like, who am I going to vote for here? I know. I'll go with Deshaun. Like, I just don't see that happening enough. No. Don't bet it.
Isn't the NFL concluding an investigation, like, right now?
They are in midst of an investigation.
I'd be curious if the TV show comes out before that or after.
Well,
or?
It's Tuesday, so, yeah. Mm. They'd have to expedite if they're going to conclude it beforehand. But it's all what's amazing about this, and Vinny, this brings you in also, is when we had Johnny Avello on from DraftKings, again, you guys should meet.
He's with DraftKings, right?
He's with DraftKings, yeah. I think you'd like him. When they put out lines, they only put out the Browns line for week one. They wanted to have all week one lines. But then the rest of the season, they have no Browns lines because you just don't know. Like, yeah. Is it Deshaun? Is it Baker Mayfield? Mm-hmm. Does that make a difference? Well, the betting market thinks it does, apparently. And lines makers think it do.
I think it does.
Yeah.
4.5 first week. Brownies, 4.5-point favorites at Carolina.
What game have you had the most movement on? Most action.
The most action has come in for week one so far. Must be a Florida thing. The Buccaneers and the Dolphins. They haven't moved just yet, but those teams, the Buccaneers, 2-point favorites, Sunday night at Dallas. And then the Dolphins at home, 2.5-point favorites against the Patriots.
Oh, you had 2.5 on the Dolphins.
2.5.
Not 3.
Not 3. Which, again, yeah. We'll go to 3 if yeah. needed. But
because I think I saw 3 from some others.
I'm opening, sure. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure there are. Gil, speaking of follow-ups, I wanted
Please.
To.
Yes.
And the folks that do. Gentlemen, Ed Blust, he asked a question last week.
As precipitated by Crackman bringing it up.
Bill Krakenberger, who I did spend a little time with yesterday after he was on with you. There was a question about what happens to someone's betting account, the funds, particularly in their betting account, or even the tickets, if there's any live tickets in there. If someone leaves us and goes to the great beyond.
In whatever fashion.
And so I had mentioned that, listen, as long as we can demonstrate, what typically would happen in that case is it would go to probate, right? But, people go through the process like would anything else with property during probate. But we also went a step farther here at South Point. We've got a beneficiary form.
Really?
For folks to fill out in conjunction with or in addition to their betting account.
So anybody who, obviously, they would have to still be with us to do this, right?
Yeah,
this can't happen after the fact.
Yeah, I can't.
They don't want
any apparitions showing up at the counter.
I was going to say, they have to predate their passing, their demise.
Yeah.
They can just sort of randomly come in and go, hey, I got some money in my betting account. Can I get one of those beneficiary forms?
Yeah. Yeah, I have it right here. And in fact, Bill and I were chatting about it yesterday.
Let me ask you a question, Vinny Maliulo.
Yes,
since we're slow jamming with Vinny. Did you know about this before we had the conversation?
I thought we had. I wanted to confirm, and then when we went, I went and made sure we chatted with the admin and the auditors.
I like that you followed up on that. Listen, I appreciate it.
We try to be thorough. And again, Ed listens to the show, and there's a lot of folks that had the same question. So it's an important question, and I thought it would be. Certainly important to follow up.
Is it your hunch, and I'm only asking you to speculate because you can only speak for the South Point, of course, but is it your guess, your educated guess, that others have this kind of thing as well?
I would say that knowing that we have it, that you'll see
bigger corporations.
Again, I can't speak for what others do or don't. I have a lot of friends in the industry. Nobody wants to, to not see somebody get what's rightful,
But listen, we're not trying to be flippant about this because it is actually, it is so much simpler. Like, let's say you are one of these people who have tons of money in an account. You're not anticipating your passing away, but the pain in the butt that it could end up being for your relatives.
Well, if you've ever gone through probate at all, in any way, shape, or manner,
absolutely.
Right? It's difficult enough. So, look, just like any other financial account,
exactly.
you want to just have a cut. So, we've got it here available at South Point, and I would encourage folks to take advantage of it for sure.
You gonna have a French Open first round lines up here,
Gil? Probably not.
Okay.
You know, we do the quarters.
Yep.
Typically, that's when folks. But again, I will, once I leave this studio, I will continue to follow up and say,
thank you.
Hey, Christy, guess what Gil asked me? My question.
He can't be like,
He won't even have to guess. He'll just go. You talk about that tennis against French Open, right, Vin? So.
Vinny, if you build it, they will come. Scotty Scheffler off the green here, chipping onto the green here.
I love Gil's tenth golf hole. Voice.
Oh, he's short of the green. That is not good. Scotty Scheffler, six back still, has parred every hole on the course today. And the wind is just, seems to be bothering him. But he has, like I said, he's gotten super close to scoring a few times today, but getting birdies, but he's just fallen short. Now he's having trouble here, which he did yesterday on the back nine as well.
I think the wind, is it set to be even stronger tomorrow, probably, given what we've got going on here.
I think today is supposed to be the strongest. It's 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow it's supposed to tick down a bit. But like you can tell, like every one of these shots, if you look at the trees in the background, they are moving. And it is bothering a lot of these players. And like I said, while JT has made his way to 4-under, by the way, Neiman has given a stroke back. So JT is the only guy on the course that is flirting with the lead. But it is just really horrible conditions. Now, whether this gets worse the rest of the day, Brooks Koepka with a nice long putt, but he's having trouble as far as his entire tournament. He's just trying to make the cut. It'll be interesting to see if the wind picks up later or if it dies down again and becomes more favorable for the same guys who had it more favorably early yesterday. So keep that in mind. Again, I'll recite the Jim Nance stat here at the end of the show, just as we began the show. For those who are into trends and betting such things, Jim Nance mentioned this yesterday, that at Southern Hills, where they're playing this PGA Championship, there have been 10 big-time events before this PGA Championship, 7 majors, 2 tour championships, 1 senior PGA last year. And of those 10, the first-round leader, so this should make Rory McIlroy backers happy, the first-round leader or co-leaders have won 8 of those 10 times. They ended up winning the whole thing 8 of 10 times. The 36-hole leader, whoever leads after today, in the previous 10 big-time events at Southern Hills, 10 of 10, 36 hole leaders have won.
You think that's just a coincidence?
I think it's that kind of course.
Really?
I do, yeah.
I don't know the first thing about handicapping golf.
Yeah. I don't usually cite golf trends, but that was pretty fascinating.
That's interesting.
Yeah, Jim Nance mentioning that yesterday. Vinny, thank you.
Good to be with you guys. Carl, good to see you.
Good to see you as well.
Vinny Maiolio. Carl Sack, everybody. NBA guru who gave us that Celtics pick yesterday. Jeff Parlay. Kevin in the corner. Everybody listening, thank you. Good luck with all your bets this weekend. Enjoy. Lombardi Line next. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.